You guys ready to get into the Word today? Amen. All right, so the title of this message, you can see it up there, is called Operation Unoffendable. And this is going to be a great message for all of us. We're living in times where everybody is offended about everything. It's just amazing, and it's almost comical at some of the things that people are offended over. And I like what one guy said when his pastor brought a message like this, all right? And so I'm trying to coat this message with honey and make it as sweet as, because this is going to be, as so they speak, a hard pill to swallow, kind of. But I love what this one guy said. He told his pastor after church when he brought a message like this. He said, "Pastor, that was an enjoyable kick in the pants." So I'm just telling you right now, this is kind of just preparing your hearts right now to receive this word. And a lot of us, we don't realize this. You know, we come to church on Sunday mornings to be encouraged. And this word's going to encourage you. It will as well. Because that's God's word. It encourages you. But in 2 Timothy, there's a scripture that talks about what God's word does to us as we get into it ourselves personally and as we hear it, like you're going to hear it today. But it corrects, it rebukes, it trains you in righteousness, and then it encourages. All right. So there's a lot of correction, there's a lot of rebuking, there's a lot of training in righteousness, and there's a lot of encouragement with God's word. And so I want you to, I'm trying to prepare you as we go into this message. Don't get offended at me, okay? Because this is Operation Unoffendable. But to kind of start it off, to make it a joke, you know, I want to start off with, you know, kind of Dusty had sent me this week, Dusty Welty, and I thought it was so funny because of everything that's going on in our media and in our world, how everybody's offended with this and what lives matter and what lives don't matter and yada, yada, yada. And all lives matter, by the way. Amen. To God, all lives matter. But I have to say this before I show you this slide, because I know this goes on the radio as well, and so on the radio you can't see what I'm showing you guys. So Dusty had sent me this photo where this is a guy's deer feeder, all right, out in the woods, and you're going to see a raccoon riding a wild boar, a wild hog, and then you're also going to see a possum in the background. So that's kind of what this picture shows, and so here it is. Let me turn on my clicker real quick so I can click to it. It says, coronaviruses, riots. Why is the media not covering the fact that raccoons are breaking wild hogs and riding them into battle against the possums? I just thought that was so good. I said, Dusty, I got to share that one on Sunday morning. Possum lives matter, by the way. Amen? Okay. All right, moving right along. So how many of you ever been offended? If you're alive, you've been offended. If you have a family, you've been offended. If you're married, you've been offended. All right. So we've all been offended. So we can say that right off the bat. And we're going to learn some things today about offenses. Proverbs 4:23 says this, and I don't have the slide for that, but you can write that scripture down because it's very good. Is it tells us to guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Your heart, out of your heart flows the issues of life, is what one translation says. So out of your heart. So we have to guard our hearts, and it's your responsibility to do that. And you guard your heart with God's word. Amen? You guard your heart with God's word. So to kind of start this off, so maybe I know most of you in here, raise your hand. Have you ever been offended? We've all been offended. And so I know this message is titled Operation Unoffendable. So I'm going to give you 16 operations of an offended heart, all right? So real quick, you know, just so you'll understand, you have been offended, that we all have been offended. And so when you get offended, it starts in your heart, and then these are some of the ways that it manifests. And here's the first slide. Big complainers, condemning critics, attention seekers, insecure souls, a victim mindset, a frequent pity parties. Kind of sounds like we're reading Facebook, don't it, right now? we'll go right along here. I know I'm saying 16, but there's more, but these are just 16 of the most operations of an offended heart. Here's some more. Playing the blame game, hypersensitive feelings, moves in the hypersensitive feelings. Another way, you know, the redneck way of saying that is when I get around them, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. because they always have hypersensitive feelings. You don't know if you're going to make them mad or upset or what if you're going to say something wrong. Moves in presumption, strife spreaders, negative Nancys, fleeing spirit, manipulating and controlling, quick to anger, narcissistic, unforgiving and bitter. Aren't you glad you came to church today? And so the reasons it's so hard for you to stay happy is because it's so easy for you to get offended. And so we as Christians, we need to be the people on the planet that it takes. You don't want to get offended. You want to guard your heart against it. Is it easier said than done? Oh, yeah, especially in the day and age that we're living in right now. But I believe that they out there will know that we in here belong to him up there when we can walk and not be offended all the time, all right? I'm hoping that we can all get on the same page this morning, because what it's going to do, if you can walk unoffended, it's going to bless your marriage, it's going to bless your family, it's going to bless your church family, it's going to bless your community, it's going to bless your state, and it's going to bless your nation. If we can all, that's how it goes, if we can just keep from being offended over every little bitty thing. I wish as your pastor I could say that you can get up every morning and pray, Lord, I pray that I don't get offended today, and it won't happen, all right? I wish we could pray offenses away, but we can't. Because Jesus said this, he said in Luke 17, verse 1, he said, it is impossible that no offenses should come. So they're going to come. Look at somebody and say, they're going to come. They're going to come. So we have to prepare our hearts. You can't pray them away. We have to prepare our hearts how we're going to respond when we get offended. The Greek word for offend, for all you scholars out there, in Luke 17, verse 1, comes from the word scandalon, which we get the word scandal from. And this word originally referred to the part of the trap. The scandalon is the word originally referred to the part of the trap to which the bait was attached. So offense is a tool or a trap of the enemy to bring people into captivity. And here's where I'm going to give you a good book to read. A good book to read is by John Bevere, and it's called The Bait of Satan. It's a very good book, and it's talking about the bait of offense, the bait of Satan being offense. Now, I'm going to use, and I know every one of you in here, if you're married, you know, you have a family, or you're in a job, you've been offended. It's happened to all of us. And I'm a pastor, okay? And I'm going to just tell you, I've been offended in pastoral ministry before. The Confessions of a Pastor here this morning. And because we're all human, and we, you know, the human nature, you know, I get to the point that, you know, like on Sunday morning, I see all of you here today. I'm just going to give you an example. I see all of you here today, and I'm so excited that every one of you are here. But I'm thinking about certain families that aren't here, and I'm wondering what's going on with them. And I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking. They're not attending today. Oh, my gosh, they went to another church. Oh, my gosh. They hate me. What did I do wrong? Here's the list that goes down. What did I say last Sunday that ticked them off? You know, did I forget to shake their hand? Did I not smile at them? What did I... Confessions of a Pastor. All right, Confessions of a Pastor. And that's what's... that. And that I'm literally... I know I'm up here. I'm turning red right now because that's really what's going on in my mind. I see all of you here, but I'm thinking about the ones that aren't here. I hope they're online. I hope you're online watching. But that's what goes, and that is something I battle with every Sunday, and the Holy Spirit always tells me, Mark, don't get offended. Don't get offended. Are you teaching the truth? Yes. Then don't get offended. Mark, people came and went in my ministry the whole time I was here. They were here, they were shouting, you know, praise, you know, Hosanna to the highest, and the next week they were shouting, crucify me. That was what, and he said, Mark, I had to learn this in my life too, to not get offended. That's what the Lord has, you know, and he walked, listen to this, his disciples left him at the cross, hanging at the cross, literally, every one of them, and he didn't get offended. He came back and ministered to them in love. I said, forget it, guys. You know, I'm going to go find me 12 more disciples, but he didn't. You know, Jesus did not get offended. And thank God he didn't get offended with us. Amen. And so, but here's what I want you to do. Write this down. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down, because that offense, that Greek word is scandalon. That's the part of the trap where the bait is set at. But here's what the enemy, this is, his inroad is this. The enemy's agenda is destruction. And this is John 10:10. Most of us in here know this scripture. You've heard it if you've been in church any time before. This is Jesus talking about the enemy. He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. His end goal is destruction. Now, he's got a lot of little ways how he gets to that, but that's his end goal. How he does it is through this. The enemy's strategy is division. Matthew 12, verse 25, where Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So his end goal is destruction, his strategy is division, and the way he does it is through offense. So said another way, we'll go the other way with it because I went backwards with that. So offense leads to division, which leads to destruction. And that's what we see going on in our nation right now. There's a lot of offended people. It's leading to division, and it's going to ultimately lead to destruction if we don't get it stopped. And how does it get stopped? By each one of us making that pre-made. You're going to have to make a pre-made decision. It's like going to a family reunion. How many of you got a family reunion this month or next month? It's like some of you already had one. You got to make that pre-made decision. Before I go, I know sister so-and-so is going to be there. I know brother so-and-so is going to be there. I know cousin's going to be there. I know uncle, aunt's going to be there. And I already know they're going to pop off and they're going to say something stupid and say something wrong. So I'm already going to make a pre-made decision that I'm not going to get offended.
Amen.
Amen. And that's easier said than done. I know, because when you get there in that moment and they say something, you're just like, what in the world? I see Carrie back there looking at Mark going, amen. So something happened yesterday at their family gathering. Oh, I love it. But it's happened in my family gatherings. When we go, you're preparing yourself in the vehicle. When we go and we give the food to them and they say, that's all you brought, we're not going to get offended. Okay? I mean, I'm just using that as an example. There's all kinds of things that happen at family get-togethers and church get-togethers. It happens in church families as well. And so, and I think as a pastor over the past 20 years, we've been in our ministry has been here in Leedy for the past 20 years. And I think the thing that we have fought against the most is how the enemy uses that tactic to come in. He tries to destroy a ministry or destroy a church's influence in an area by doing that, by bringing offense, which leads to division, which leads to destruction. And so the main thing that we have fought against here over the last 20 years is just keeping everybody in unity and one accord. And it's easier said than done. But when we're in unity, when your marriage is in unity and one accord, and you're in agreement, that's the landing pad and the launching pad for the Holy Spirit. And then you can take it a step further. When your family, your immediate family is in unity and one accord, that's where the Holy Spirit can dwell and great things can happen. But you be the one, if you're hearing this information today, it's not information, it's revelation. You're hearing this revelation today, you take it to heart and you be the one in your family to make that decision and let it flow from you. And when people start seeing that, oh man, they didn't get offended, then it kind of just spills out into the whole. Just like a division does, when one person gets offended and then they go share it with the other person in the family and they get offended, then it spreads like cancer into the whole family. That you don't want that happening. You want to stop it right then in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, but here's the deal. The closer the relationship, the greater the opportunity for offense. If you don't know them that well and they say something, then you're like, okay, God bless you, and you can go on. But if it's your wife, if it's your spouse, if it's somebody close in your family and they offend you, you take it to heart, right? Okay. So, and what leads to an offense is when we have unmet expectations and unexpressed expectations. The Bible in the Song of Solomon says it's the little foxes that spoil or ruin the vineyard. And so what that means is when you have a lack of communication within your close relationships, that's always going to lead to an offense. If you're, as a husband and wife, if you're not talking, then it's going to lead to an offense. I can't read Jada's mind. I've tried for 20, since we've been married, I cannot read her mind. There's times where she wants me to. It's like, you ought to know. I'm like, no, I don't, because you didn't communicate it to me. And so that's that unmet expectations, that unexpressed expectations, and it's what's happened. She gets offended at me. I'm like, I did not know. And then she's like, you're that dumb? And I'm like, yes. You know, I am. I don't know. I can't read your mind. Let's talk about it. Ladies, tell them what you want. Tell them everything. Drop hints like crazy, and you may have to just flat out tell them instead of a hint. And it'll make our lives so much easier, and vice versa. It's the same way with men, too. So I know I'm talking to the ladies, but it's both of us. It takes two to tango. And I heard this one pastor say, he said before marriage, opposites attract. And he said, after marriage, opposites attack. Yeah, that's about the truth. All right, here's the main passage of Scripture I want to read today for us. The teaching part of this is out of Matthew chapter 5. And this is when Jesus, Matthew 5 through chapter 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where Jesus is teaching the people about different things in life. And this is what he starts off with in verse 21 and in Matthew 5. And he says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you," and so Jesus is teaching the people, and he's telling, this is basically what he's telling them, what we're going to go through here, is that everything that you do in life, what I just read to you in Proverbs 4:23, starts in the heart. You didn't just wake up someday and murder somebody. It started in your heart. All right, and so Jesus is taking it a step further and going to the heart. He was talking about the law of Moses, and it talked about the actions of people, but he was going to the heart of the matter. In verse 22, it says, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court." Everybody say, "Raca." Say it with some oomph. "Raca." "Raca." All right, here's... I can't believe I'm saying this in church. Yeah, I can. I'm a redneck. I'm giving you a new cuss word today, all right? A biblical cuss word, raca. You can use it when you get upset. Raca is our new cuss word. Raca means this, is an Aramaic word, meaning when you say that to somebody, it's an Aramaic word meaning you're empty-headed, you're worthless, or you're foolish. Raca. Yeah. All right, raca. Mark, you can use that on the baseball field, and they won't even know what you're talking about. You can holler out the umpire, "Raca!" You know, and they won't even know, like, what in the world is going on with him. And I really studied this out, guys. I spent a lot of time on the word "raca," our new word for today. It is derived from a root meaning to spit, okay? Yeah, and you just "raca," and it's like you're hawking up something, you know. I'm going to tell you, I had a "raca" moment this week. All right, and my "raca" moments, I know we're talking about "raca" moments, and I know we've all had them within our marriage, within our families and everything, but I'm going to tell you two places, and my daughter knows where one of them's at. The two places where I have "raca" moments at, number one is Walmart, and number two is drive-thrus. Those are where my "raca" moments happen. I'm going to tell you about my "raca" moment at a McDonald's. That happened years ago, and it was in Oklahoma City. But this is with all drive-thrus. It doesn't matter if it's Sonic, Arby's, wherever. So, I don't know. I feel like I can communicate. I can communicate on Sunday mornings, but when I get to a drive-thru, we just have a disconnect with that speaker and me. And it's become a joke in my family. They'll be sitting in the back seat laughing, like before I even pull up and do the order. And I'm going to this McDonald's, and we were in a hurry because I think we were actually going to some state ball games. No, I think we were going to the World Series, you know, of the College World Series for the girls was there. And so we were going through quickly at a McDonald's that was there close, and I pulled up, and I started telling the order. And, of course, we had several people in there. Tay had brought some of her friends. So I'm trying to get everybody's orders. You know how that is. You know, it's like, and that lady, you know, she's being real quick. And I'm like, hoop, 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 you know, wait. I got some more. And then I finally just stopped her in mid-sentence. And I said, "Ma'am, I think I'd got one order out." And I said, "Ma'am, I have got several orders to place here right now." And she goes, "Sir, you can only do one." Well, she meant that it was just one, but I said orders, and I meant to say I have more to put on this order. You understand what I'm saying? And she thought, and I was like, "No, I'm doing," and I couldn't even get it out, and I just took off. I just peeled out in the expedition. I actually peeled out in the expedition. It did peel out in the drive-thru, and I just took off. I was like, "Forget it. I'm not raca." You know, I'm hollering raca, and I said, we'll just eat at the ball game. That's why I was told everybody in the vehicle. Tay was like, Dad, you just needed to say. I was like, honey, I don't. If she can't understand that, I can't communicate with her. You know? And so anyway, that was. And I'm looking. Everybody's laughing. I'm like, is this the? Am I the only person that this happens to? And then another time, this past week. That's happened to me several times in the drive-thrus around the world. This last one happened at Walmart this past week, and this was before they had the mandatory mask. They're mandatory right now, right, at Walmart? All right. Well, it was like the Friday before that they went mandatory on a Monday, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get used to wearing it, and I had to run in there and get something, and I just needed to get a few things. So I put my mask on, and I go running in, and I get my few things, and I come around a corner of, because I was in a hurry, I go up front, and I come around a corner, and I cut a lady off. And I didn't mean to. I mean, I didn't see her, and I cut her off, and I just kept going. And I had my back to her, and she goes, well, excuse me, like that. And, of course, she had her mask on and everything. And I felt the Tabasco sauce come up, and I felt Rocca wanting to come out. And I wanted to pull down my mask and go, Rocca! And actually spit on her. No, I'm just kidding. But I just turned around and I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry, you know. And she just was like, hey, you know, shaking her. And I was just like, I can't deal with this. I got to go on Rocca. And I tried to be nice. I'm still going to give you a Rocca. And I didn't mean to. But those, I don't look for it to happen. It just happens at Walmart and at drive-thrus. And how many of you just don't look for stuff to happen? You know, you're like, Lord, keep me free from offenses, but then it just shows up. Right, yeah, it happens to all of us. And so you don't get offended. But there's your new word that you can remember. And hopefully it'll bring some humor like it did this morning. So you remember, when you have that opportunity to get offended, just so go, Rocca. And then realize, okay, Lord said we can't do that. But I'll say that to myself. All right. Hopefully that helps you. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, and I'm like, Lord, this is tough. You just said if you call somebody a fool, you're going to be in danger of the fire of hell. I'm like, why, gosh. Lord, help me. Verse 23 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And then in verse 25, he says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. And this is Matthew 5, verses 21 through 26. Now, I want you to write something down or remember this mentally. You can't grow spiritually unless you get offended. Because when you read the word, it's going to correct you, it's going to rebuke you, it's going to train you in righteousness. It is going to offend you before you grow spiritually. And you need to allow it to. It'll encourage you too, but you need to let it teach you and train you in righteousness. So I'm going to give you four things today, real quickly, four things, the teaching part of this, that's going to help you build a good defense against becoming offended. All right? And here's number one, abide in God's word. And I don't mean, you know, I know some of you probably in here have Bible reading plans. It's good. Do that. I do that. You know, devotionals, do that. At least get a scripture a day into you, okay? It'll help you. And there's something about God's word. God has built into his word, he has a built-in defense against offense. Because what the word does is start building God's love into your heart and into your life. Even if it's just a scripture a day, do it. Abide in God's word. And this is Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love God's word, you're not going to get offended, and stay in God's word. And everybody said, amen. Abide in God's word. Number two is cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is working with you to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, which is what Jesus was on this planet, okay, and who Jesus is. That was the Spirit that was within Jesus, but he needs your help in that process. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to work with you and to help you. And he'll, you know, when you get offended, he'll help you with those rough edges. And this is in Galatians 5, verses 22 through verse 23. And this is what the Word of God does when you abide in God's Word and the Holy Spirit working with it. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to work into all of us. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Got to overlook them. Got to overlook some things that your family does. Got to overlook some things that your spouse does. You can't correct every little bitty thing that your spouse does. Just overlook it. Duck and let the Holy Spirit do it. If it's something that gets on your last nerve, take it up with the Lord. Say, Lord, let, she does some things that gets on my last nerve. And I don't want to say anything. I'm overlooking them because I know what's it's going to, you know what it's going to cause on the earth is if I do, you know. Am I helping somebody today? Ecclesiastes 10:4 says, calmness can lay great offenses to rest. So stay calm. And so I had to put this little slide in there. Keep calm and don't get offended. Keep calm and don't get offended. And I know that's easier said than done. I think there's things that may, you know, I'm thinking about playing softball. We'll get to that in just a second. Tell you, thank God those days are over. But here comes Jarek. But, you know, we played softball and we'd get to it. And God has given me a voice that can boom when it needs to, right? And I know that. And it's for this part here, for preaching and teaching and all that. It's not for the ball field. And I'll get on the ball field. And I had a guy up in right field one time when we was playing college softball, and he's out in right field. And he goes, Pastor, he goes, I come out here so I don't do what you just did up there. But he goes, but I was out here cheering you on because I could hear you plumb out in right field. And I laughed about it, but later it convicted me because I was having a rock a moment from the stands because Taya was pitching. It was always when Taya pitched, you know. The umpire just has no sense at when Taya's on the mound pitching. And but earlier in life when she was in, and I used to have this deal. And if you know that, here's the deal. I know that about myself because I can get real competitive when I hit the ball field. And so have somebody that you trust that can talk to you. Okay? I'm just going to give you an example. Just something I did in my own life. Now, I didn't have at the college deal. I didn't have somebody there. I wish I should have that day. But back when Taya was little in Little League, and we was actually 13, 14, my mom was the bookkeeper. So my mom was the one I told us because I was helping coach. And I said, Mom, if I ever cross the line, you know where the line's at. If I ever cross the line, just say mark. You don't have to scream at me, just mark. And I know that I need to reel in my rocka moment, right? And so, and she had to do that several times. And but there was one time, and you can have rocka moments and still do it in a Christ-like way, you know, and not lose your mind. And I love this. Mark's looking at me. He's like, I wish you wouldn't even go here, Pastor. But Mark, here's what I love about Mark. Mark will call me after every game and say, Pastor, I've got it's like confessional box time. It's like, this happened. I said, Mark, you're covered, buddy. You're okay. But he always has to call me and say, man, I lost it today. I did this. I did that. You know, and I love it because we have that camaraderie, and I understand. I was just like, man, and I'm sitting there as this pastor going, I did it. I've done it too, you know, and I'm just a dad. And that's awesome. But what I'm saying is he's covered. The Lord's got him covered because he has that heart that he knows afterwards. And that happens to me all the time. But anyway, in this one particular game, I just want to share this story about keep calm and don't get offended. We had a situation in a tournament where we were playing, and in this tournament they had these drop-dead rules. I mean, you just like, and in the middle of the inning, when the time limit was up, the game's over, which I hate it because, you know, you're like, we paid money to play in this tournament, and you got, here's, you know, the rocka moment coming out of me. And you're just going to drop, you know, right in the middle of the inning. You're not even going to finish the inning out. So we're about to run out of time, and I know it. Taya's pitching, and we're trying to finish this inning so we can get up to bat and hopefully score some runs. And so this coach for the other team, you know, these 13 or 14-year-old girls, he's told them to go out there, and I want you to, between every pitch, I want you to tie your shoelace, and I want you to adjust your uniform and all this. And so they're bush leaguing it, all right? They're just trying to throw the game. And I'm sitting over there, and he's they're doing this. And so I have a Rocca moment because I'm sitting on a bucket calling pitches, and I stand up and I holler at this umpire, and I don't cuss or anything like that. I told him, I said, Blue, you need to get control of this ball game. This is your game to be calling. I said, this coach over in third base is controlling this game right now in the time limit. And the umpire looks at me, I got control. I said, no, you don't. You don't have control of this game. I said, you need to get control of this game, because I said, they're tying their shoe between. I told him, I said, I can't believe every girl in that dugout over there does not know how to tie their shoe before they get to home plate. And I mean, I just went off. And my mom let me kind of, she gave me free rein. She never said Mark. and so I had that Rocca moment, and it ended in a good way. The umpire said, you know, got it back under control. We ended up coming back and actually winning that game in the next inning. And that umpire came up to me afterwards and apologized. It's awesome. There is ways to have Rocca moments without, you know, getting offended and blowing your cool and all that kind of stuff. Everybody, does everybody understand that? Because I don't want us to think as Christians that we're just supposed to sit there and take every little bitty thing that comes along. Now, there are times, and we're living in this time right now, don't get offended, but there are times that we need to stand up for what we believe in. Amen? Okay. And there's a way to do it and not get offended in doing it. There's a right way and a wrong way of doing it. I pray to God you all are getting the right way this morning. Everybody said, amen. All right, number three is choose your teammates wisely. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Basically, what this is talking about is if you hang around people that are offended all the time, that are judgmental, critical, and continually offended, then it's not going to be before too long, they're going to be judging you, critical of you, and offended at you. All right, so choose your teammates wisely. If you surround yourself with clowns, don't be surprised when your life becomes a circus. And here's the other one. If you want to soar like an eagle, you can't run with the turkeys. Amen? All right. And here's the last thing. The last thing on the list today is number four, is keep a clear conscience. And I love what the Apostle Paul says in Acts 24:16. He says, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and towards men. And I love that, what he says about God. Because a lot of there's some of you in here that you may be offended at God, because God didn't answer my prayer this way, life didn't turn out this way for this and this and this. You need to drop that offense. Amen. Amen. God's God, and we're not. And thank God for that. I was talking to Jada here last week, and we were just talking about life and things that's happened to us, things that's happened to you guys that's in our church family. And I said, you know, I said, babe, the thing that I read one time that really ministered to me the most was, said, and I think it was Corey Ten Boom that said this, was she related life to a tapestry, and she said, we only see the backside of it where all the strings are being attached, and every now and then we can see the colors and we can see some beauty. Every now and then we can catch a glimpse of God, but it's actually on the other side where all the beauty's at, which is heaven, right? That's the place where we're going. But on this side, we just, every now and then we'll catch a glimpse of it, but we really don't know what God's doing, because he took this string and did this and that, and we don't see the big picture. But on the other side, there's a big, beautiful picture that's being put together by God himself. And so that's why we can't get offended at God, because he knows what he's doing. Father knows best. Amen? And don't get offended towards people either. With this keep a clear conscience, I want you to make a little side note here, because this will really help you in walking in not getting offended. It'll let me say this. It'll help you drop it really quick, all right? Drop it like it's hot. Oh, that shouldn't say that in church. That's Snoop Dogg. All right. Lord, forgive me. Strike that from the, all right, edit that. Here's the key. Don't be shocked about human nature. Don't be shocked about human nature. If you can walk through life, and I pray to, you know, I'm just now learning this, and I'm 50, all right? But if you can learn this while you're young, don't be shocked about human nature. Don't be shocked when sister so-and-so does that, or brother, or your spouse does that, or what. Just don't be shocked, because it's human nature. It's human nature. And if you can, because Jesus, even in John 2:25, it says that Jesus understood what was in man's heart. So he didn't get offended. He's just like, I know my disciples were going to do that. I know that Judas was going to betray me. You know, so I'm not going to get offended at them because I know what's in their heart. Offense, listen to this. Offense is an event. Living offended is a decision. I'll say that again. When offense happens, it's an event, but living offended is a decision. So make the right decision. Don't live in offense. Drop the offense, and if you build a good defense resisting the devil and refusing to become offended, you're yielding to God's influence, and the Bible says that when you do that, you're going to run off the devil every single time. The Bible says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And everybody said, all right, here's the last scripture. And I want us to all remember this as you leave here today, because I promise you this week something's going to happen at work, at home, you know, within your family or whatever that's going to cause you to become offended. And you need to remember this scripture, Isaiah 44, verse 22. God said, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. We've all offended God here, okay? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we have to remember that. And it's easier when we realize how much we've been forgiven, how much then it's easier for us to drop the offense and forgive people and just move on. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And right there where you're at, Romans 10 says that you can call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. So all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus. And I want you to repeat this prayer to me. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Clean me up and become my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, it's that easy. That's that easy of calling upon the name of the Lord. And I pray that this message helps us, because we are living in trying times right now where there's a lot of division going on. It's you know, and it's trickling down, and I just don't want it to trickle into our church and into our families and into our church family, into marriages, because it's just not worth it, guys. Because offense leads to division and ultimately leads to destruction. And so we don't want that. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here this morning, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today, all right? Here is the blessing. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, I'm not offended. Y'all have a blessed week. Love you guys.